What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev and Josh. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do something good, something bad as it relates to TFC 2, and we'll talk about what we expect out of our upcoming match against Louisville. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to
So, Kev, I don't know if you saw, but the reception to your Kev talk from the last episode was pretty good. People were out there saying, they were glad that we were having the conversation in public that a lot of people have been having behind closed doors for a long time. So, I guess that's good.
We need to do more of that then. We got to give the people what they want.
I think we do. So, you know. Whether you like the Kevin talk or not from last week, if you
please
have something
don't make
that
it
you
like
talk
a
about
thing.
A lot,
don't let's not call it the Kevin talk. Let's talk about truthful, honest things that are bugging us.
No. I think it should be a weekly segment called Kevin talk, and then we like jump into the segment. And that's
too much pressure. It's just gonna be Kevin complaining about random things. It's just gonna be like, you know what? I don't like corn dogs. What's up with corn dogs?
Yeah. It's like the grind my gear segment from Family Guy or something.
There we go. Yeah.
No one crickets. No one's seen that episode.
No. I just laughed to make you feel good.
Make you feel better about yourself.
That's right. Guys. Speaking of making yourself feel better about yourself, how are things in Nashville this week? I know you're not a Predators fan, but
I'm in Knoxville, so I'm not in Nashville.
You're close enough. In Pittsburgh.
But I saw a fair amount of Predators stuff. Surprisingly, you see a couple of Pens gears like around here as well. I mean, there's Pittsburgh fans down here for sure. They kind of hid. It wasn't really anything too important. Actually, funny story. It was, I think, one of the local Knoxville ice hockey teams tweeted something out where they were having a watch party for Game 6. Game 6 in, like, Market Square of Knoxville. And they had these, like, little mini nets set up for, like, you know, 6- and 7-year-olds to kind of play on. And I don't know why they would tweet this, but they had, like, 3 kids against this one kid with a Penguins jersey on. And the Penguins could literally, like, dance between 3 kids and scored. And they're like, hopefully the Pens don't do this tonight. Like, why would you do that? But yeah. But
I was expecting you to say, like, you walked up to the nets and just, like, kicked them over and laughed.
No. But yeah.
Because you're that guy. Threw off his gloves and just started punching. It was a massacre, really.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, congrats to the Pens who won the Stanley Cup again. Last night, which is awesome, depending on when you're listening to this last night. The kids tried to stay up to watch it, and they all fell asleep, the slackers. So they woke up this morning, and that was the first thing. Did they win? Yeah, they won. Unfortunately, the Hounds did not win this weekend. Ended up getting the draw against TFC 2, Canada, Kevin.
I mean, we didn't lose.
We didn't lose.
Yeah, I mean, we still are, we haven't lost.
We didn't lose. I was sort of live tweeting. And for those who follow, I don't really, do play-by-play. It's more just reaction to the play-by-play. And as it was progressing, there were a lot of people that started tweeting, like, please don't talk about pizza in the next episode because of just how things were going. So we're not going to do the spinner this week, but if you have some ideas that you'd like us to talk about, things other than pizza, send them our way. We'll add them to the spinner. But I figured instead of, after this game, I was feeling rather negative because I felt like this was a team that we should have beat, and this was a game that we should have won. We talked about going into this that anything less than 3 points just isn't acceptable. And so Richard Nightingale sent me his opinion piece, which we post over at mongols.com, which is good. And I'm thinking to myself, oh man, like Richard's just gonna go off. And it was a rather I don't want to say objective, but it was more providing suggestions for ways that things could be turned around, per se. Sort of like, look, we've been in this situation before. these are some things that, you know, you could potentially do to help turn it around. It wasn't like, this is terrible, things are falling apart. It was a pretty good piece. So, you know, if you haven't read it, I suggest you go over and look at it. So that made me think, rather than just like piling on and doing takeaways and having it be all negative, let's flip it around. Instead, let's talk about something good that happened in this game, or multiple things that were good from this game. And then we could talk about some of the things that were bad from this game.
The compliment sandwich? Is that what you're going
to... That's right, the compliment sandwich. Yeah. How does that work? It's like one good, one bad, and then two good? Or is it two good, one bad, one good?
I always thought it was like you lead with something good, you throw in something negative, and then you finish off with something good as well. The compliment sandwich. But I could be wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever. Let's do something good first. So, Josh, what was something good that you saw in this game that you're happy with?
I mean, I think the obvious one is the fact that Parks finally got his goal. That's the biggest thing out of this game we wanted to see. He got his goal, and interestingly enough, so I was listening to their coach do an interview after the game, and he talked about how it was deja vu for him because this was a goal that happened last season when we played them. It was actually their first home game. And I went back and watched the highlights from that game. And there's a lot of similarities, actually. This game isn't just that one thing. It was interesting to see Parks had another similar opportunity down the left-hand side where he whiffed it at the very end. Or it went... The goalie got it. You know, the goalie made the block. That happened in both games. Parks getting this goal. He also scored in that game. And that goal that did actually look exactly the same wasn't from Parks, though. That was Connor Branson scored it last season. So yeah, it was kind of interesting to see those similarities and the fact that this was a very similar game as far as, you know, the draw and those shots. So I do think though, Parks getting that goal hopefully helps a lot.
Yeah. And we'll get to I want to talk about the Parks breakaway goal, and I'm going to save that for my something bad. Kev, what was something good that you saw from this game?
I mean, yeah, I think my mindset was similar to a lot of the stuff you guys already talked about. Initially out of the gate, just very negative. But the more you kind of reflect on it, you know, I don't think the USL does this for all the games, but they put up that highlights reel. And that's nice to kind of go back and refresh your memory about what happened this previous game instead of watching the entire 2-hour match again. In that, I think, at least for me, it reflected that this game, it's one of those games that can happen to anyone at any point, even if you're a great side playing a bad side playing a great side. It happens in the U.S., it happens in Europe, it happens anywhere the game is played, where for all intents and purposes, at least in my opinion, you know, we should have won this game. We had some clear-cut chances that, in my opinion, I mean, this sounds a bit weird, like, okay, so fine, Toronto hit the post at the last kick of the game and all that stuff. But even, I mean, yeah, it was close, but it was more of a chaotic mess that balls just kind of fell nicely to Toronto and they just didn't capitalize on him. Whereas in our chances, it felt like we were actually creating them ourselves, not purely out of chaos and good luck and good fortune, but it was chances that we were creating that... Honestly, on another day, another goalkeeper, yeah, we score more goals and walk away with 3 points. So it felt like it was just one of those frustrating days where, you know, the ball bounces their way and the ball doesn't bounce our way on multiple occasions, and we walk out of there with a draw, and that's the disappointing part. But on another day, it could have been a different story.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that, you know, one of the positives is the fact that we did get the draw, at least. It was a comeback draw. It could have been worse. We could have walked out of there with nothing. One of the other things that I thought was interesting was, I think it was earlier in the game, I tweeted out, you know, something that we haven't been seeing from the Hounds lately that we saw a lot earlier in the season that I think was making them much more dynamic was this willingness to dribble straight at players and take them on. We haven't done that a lot recently. And coach put in Kenroy Howe for Jack Thompson in the second half, and it seemed like immediately Kenroy started running at the defense, which was freeing up space for other players. It was making the defense backpedal a lot, and then you start seeing Parks doing the same thing, running at players, making things happen. And I thought that was pretty good. We haven't seen much of Kenroy Howe yet this year. I think he subbed in one or two of the other games, but nothing like the impact that he had here. And so I'm hoping that this is sort of a shift, and we start to see more of this in the coming games.
Something I noticed with Kenroy was the fact that he actually, I think, had a lot to do with that park's goal. Because the way they set it up, they did two dummy routes where Kenroy acted like he was going to go over the ball than Herzog did. But when Kenroy did it, he ran at one of the defenders, and the defender broke off the wall to guard him. And because of that, that split the wall, and then Parks was able to get that goal in on the left-hand side. So, yeah, it was nice to see him. That, and he made that chance on goal within 5 minutes of getting into the game. So.
Well, and usually I hate those dummy runs, like especially like two stepping over the ball and then the third person coming up to take the free kick. But I mean, yeah, I mean, Josh, I didn't even pick up that level of detail that you just explained there. But also, you know, if you look back at the goal, it does get the goalie moving. I mean, he kind of takes that one step to the left and then the ball goes right and then he misses it just a split second too late. And so that was kind of nice to see, because as soon as I saw it happen, I was like, "Don't do this! Just someone take the shot," but it worked.
Yeah, and you know the Hounds had plenty of shots. A lot of shots were wide of the net, over the net. Kevin, you know, like you said, we created a number of opportunities. You know, one of the bads I thought was that the officiating wasn't great. Hollingsworth got clipped from behind when he was clear in on goal. He wasn't in the box when he went down, so it wouldn't have been a PK. But the fact that there was no call there, I took objection to. And then Herzog going down in the box, the camera angle wasn't clear, but it looked like the defender may have made contact, the keeper may have made contact, somebody I think made contact, and to again have no call at all. Yeah, I mean, but the chances were there. There were a couple 1-2s between Hollingsworth and Parks. So the good is that things are coming together. They just didn't finish. That's all, which has sort of been the story this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you drop this game in the context of a win streak, then you just go, oh, it's one of those, and you move on. But the fact that it's coming in, you know, in the time that it does, where we've been struggling to score goals, struggling to get points, it's just, you can't just say, oh, it's one of those, even though looking at it objectively, it probably was.
There's also another thing to keep in mind with this game that we haven't talked about yet is the fact that Toronto had some first team players on the field. It wasn't a regular Toronto 2 team. In fact, the goal came from Endo, and he's a first team player. Chapman's a first team player. Morgan's a first team player. And then I think in the 60th minute, Hamilton got subbed in, and he's a first team player. So that's four players in this game who are
MLS players.
MLS players, yeah. And they play for... Like, I would say Endo is not playing a lot of games this season for Toronto, but last season he had, like, I think 20 games played for Toronto last season, so he's an MLS player. Yeah. The fact that we were able to hold our own against, you know, those guys maybe isn't as bad. Like, I was expecting the blowout, but that was because I was expecting a regular Toronto FC too, and that's not what we played against.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Before we jump into our something bads, what else was there? Anything else good that you guys saw from this game that you want to talk about at this point?
I mean, I like the consistency in lineup. It's arguable in a couple of positions, but the positions that I care most about, I think we're seeing consistency in lineup. I mean, once again, Herzog and Parks, Thompson and Hollingsworth, Jack and Abubakar, you know, Taylor Washington. I mean, these are. I think a lot of the times last season we were kind of swinging in and out of.
Josh, why are you laughing?
I think
did
I know.
You say Kerr anywhere in there?
No,
I
didn't.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. You forgot to say Kerr on accident there.
I think a lot of the time last season there was a lot of just switching around, trying this, trying that, pulling in players in and out of the starting lineup. But it seems like for the first time, maybe even in Brandt's tenure here, we're seeing a set of guys that he kind of backs and trusts, and they're the same guys that I want to see on the pitch. So from a selfish standpoint, I'm quite happy to see that.
I'm gonna take that and flip that into the something bad, because I think that having a consistent lineup is good from having players that are familiar with each other and can build off of each other and you grow together. But I think that in some ways what we're also seeing is the lack of depth on the team. Obviously, there's a number of injuries, but you know, one of the things that I was pointing out on Twitter during the game was that, you know, it felt like Corey missed, you know, three or four shots. And you take that in the context of like the past three or four games where there have been clear shots and we're skying the ball over the net. And one of the difficulties with not having that depth is that there's no repercussion. There's no pushing. Not that Corey needs push. We've talked to Corey. We know he's a competitor. But at the same time, if you know somebody is breathing down your neck, and if you're not putting the ball in the net, you're out. You're going to focus just a little bit more, and those shots are probably going to be closer to target than, you know, if you're just trying to push it and it's going wide. And so we had a number of these cases where players are missing shots wide. There was someone who missed another wide open shot. I can't remember who it was. I'm blanking.
Besides Parks?
It may have been. Well, there was the Parks one as well, but it's the case of, like, if that happens, there's nobody that's going to come off the bench and replace these guys. You're not going to bench Herzog at this point. You're not going to bench Kerr. You're not going to bench Parks at this point. So mentally, that plays into some of what's going on. I'm not saying any of these guys are taking it off, but we've also talked to Coach in the preseason, and he stressed the importance of competition at every position and how it's pushing everybody to be better. And I don't feel that competition is there right now. We just don't have the depth, be it because of injury or be it just because it's a short bench.
I think you might be thinking of Howell. He had a shot on goal that just went right into the keeper's hands. It was a pretty soft shot in the 78th minute. So that might be what you're thinking of.
That was oddly specific.
I know, 78th minute.
I had it pulled up as something to talk about because I was actually really surprised by the fact that he had that shot within 5 minutes of getting on the pitch. And like it seemed like it was a great link up between him and Parks because Parks, or like he originally, Howell had the ball and then he passes off to Parks and then Parks passed it right back to him. It was a good like 1-2 give,
yeah,
and got past the defense. And I thought that was awesome to see, you know, a play build up from our half to theirs.
Yeah.
So. By the way, do you guys think that this is now like Parks's level? I mean, so yeah, he gets the goal, but I mean, you know, the old Parks I have in memory, he, when he goes one-on-one with a goalie, he buries that 95% of the time.
It's ironic that you say that, Kevin, because as this played, so okay, the play developed. I can't remember who fed him the outlet pass in this game, but basically he had like a 30-yard sprint where he's in alone on the keeper, tries to go five hole on the keeper saves it. And I immediately had flashbacks to the last game, and I knew that, or no, I shouldn't say last game, last time we played at Toronto last season. And immediately I thought it was Parks, and then I started second-guessing myself. Josh, like you, I went back and actually watched the very end of that game, and sure enough, in the 94th minute, the game was tied 2-2. I think it was Hollingsworth just sent a long ball over the top. Parks had 30 yards, went straight at the keeper, and tried to go five-hole, and it was saved again. So, yeah, that's one you got to bury. Kev, to your point, you know, is this the peak Parks from last season, or is he still building towards that? I don't know. But that's the sort of shot, like, you got to bury that. I mean, from that distance, either you touch it around the keeper and go for a shot, or you just try to put, I mean, going five hole on him from that distance, like, it's going to hit off something. It's going to go.
I don't know. It feels like my memory of him, like, last season was him scoring, like, every game. And he was, and now granted, yeah, he gets his goal today, but, you know, at this rate, what? I mean, I know the numbers are bouncing around here somewhere, but, you know, how many minutes has Parks played?
I think it's been five games so far this season, like not started, but played in five games.
Yeah, it feels a bit weird. And I'm a bit worried because I think all of us were anticipating, especially, I think what his first appearance was away against
Louisville. Yeah. No. It was in the Louisville game because I was going back looking over the notes. I think the Louisville.
Then maybe it wasn't away. I don't know. But I remember his first appearance was a sub and he came on and some of his touches were, you know, just immaculate. And I was like, okay, yeah, he's the same Parks that we had from last season. And he's just, I think we're all just waiting in anticipation for him to just explode and turn into this goal machine. And you know, this was the game that I expected it to happen. Like I said, it's, I mean, statistically sure he gets his goal, but you expected him to maybe take some more of his chances he had in this game.
And it wasn't, like, from the run of play. It was a penalty. Like, there was a lot of, like, it didn't feel like a Parks goal like that we've seen in the past. In fact, I don't even think he did his, like, backflip that he usually does when he scores. If he doesn't do the backflip anymore, I'm kind of sad. I mean, that was fun.
And
I
was going to say, don't listen to me. His first game was against Ottawa, which was two games before Louisville. So
It felt like a Canada team again. But
yeah. You and your Canada teams. So yeah, I mean, that chance needs to be better, but again, it was one of many chances that I think could have been better. So, you know, hate to single him out, but at the same time, it's gotta be better. I thought that, you know, I mentioned this a little bit before, I thought the officiating wasn't great. The clip from behind, originally I was like, oh, it was in the box, and there was some discussion I was having with the Nightingale online, he's like, well, you know, it wasn't in the box, and I'm like, regardless, he's clear in, three guys behind him, and he goes down because he gets clipped from behind. Like, that's a call, whether it's in the box or not, not a play on. So there were a couple calls like that that I thought were just blatantly missed.
I actually struggle to think of a game where I walked away from it thinking, yeah, the officials were really good this game. Feels like a lot of the times this season, it's just been confusing.
USL. Calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hallmark.
So I guess anything else that you guys saw on this that's something bad that's, you know, giving you pause that you think that's worth discussing here?
I mean, just the disappointment of the fact that they didn't put another one away, but like I said, it's one of those things where in a vacuum, if I'm just looking at this game, just thinking about it, like, we should actually be pretty happy about getting this point because of the fact that they did have so many first team players. We came from behind.
It's a way.
You know, like, a lot of good things happened. But without looking at this from that, like, if you're just trying to build momentum, especially going to Louisville, like, this is not the result you wanted to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you react on emotion, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we all feel it. It's not a good feeling, this performance, this result. But when you
Should I take out the spinner? Should we get the spinner ready?
I think we're good. I think we're not going to talk ourselves off the ledge.
When you actually look at it objectively and start trying to find specific talking points to talk about, like on the podcast, you're like, well, there's not a ton. That's a kind of really fault for them on this one. So it's tough. But I mean, like, so Josh, you brought up the point about building momentum to Louisville. It's weird. I don't know why I have this, but I'm not that worried against Louisville. For some reason, I have the impression that when the big teams come to play, we'll show up. I mean, we've done it against Red Bulls too already. We've done it against...
Well, hold on. You're going all the way back to the first game of the season where it was 3-3.
Okay, but how many
big
teams have we
like
played
that
so far this season?
That's what scares me.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I feel concern. Like what? It's been Red Bulls 2.
Played Red Bulls 2, we played Cincy, we played
Charleston?
Louisville.
Or Charlotte. I always mix up Charlotte and Charleston.
We did. We played the Battery
and beat them.
And we drew them. Or we beat them, I'm sorry. And they're still the top team in the
East.
So,
I mean, that's my point. I don't know. Even last season, I feel like maybe even if last season we didn't get the results, we would always put in a performance against the big teams. And I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm confident in the same thing against Louisville.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling the confidence right now. I mean, we're playing at Louisville. It's going to be a harder game. I don't know. I think it's going to be rough. And going from that game, then going to freaking Tampa Bay. I mean, I know Tampa Bay's coming here, but playing Tampa Bay right afterwards, like, those are two rough teams in a row. And I felt like we kind of needed that confidence booster of Toronto FC, and we didn't get that.
Yeah, I mean, I think earlier in the season, it was much easier to be optimistic and confident because, you know, it's a new season. Every team is confident coming in at the beginning of the season. Then you have a game where you go up against the defending champs, you tie them 3-3. We had this exciting style we were playing, and it felt like at least the past few weeks after. So we were on a 3-game win streak. I think that was when Louisville came to town. They beat us 1-0. And it seems like we've been on sort of a progressive, not necessarily slide since then, but it's sort of like leveled off back to mediocrity, where, you know, we're sitting outside the playoff picture. At one point we were in fourth. It's still early in the season. None of that matters. But, you know, when you have games like this, it matters a bit. But look, if this was last season, we'd be like, woo, we got a point on the road at Toronto. Like, and for us to look at it now and be like, eh, we got a point on the road in Toronto. Like, I think that that sort of shows the progression of the team, but at the same time, I immediately, as the clock wore down in this game, I was immediately going back to that mental state of last season, which just feels terrible.
Yeah.
So we need something to boost us back out of that. And whether or not, you know, Josh, like you said, it's not going to get any easier. It's Louisville and then the Rowdies. So this was our chance to get the confidence back up again. And because of missed opportunities, we had our shots, and they just they didn't go. So it's now we need to dig ourselves out of a bigger hole.
I don't want
to
step on the agenda, so just stop me if you want. But I was
Kev. I think people love when you just rant. So go ahead. this will be the Kevin's talk portion of the show.
No. I was just gonna ask. So okay, over the course of the next two games, what would you still be like realistically happy with? Over the next two games, on the low end, of course we want 6 points, but like, what's the least amount you would take and still be like, all right, that's fine.
2 points. I mean, I honestly, if against the bigger teams in the standings, getting a draw on both teams would be nice. I would prefer a win against the Rowdies just because they're at the high mark, and so I feel like we should win against them. But going to Louisville, getting a point, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I think I'd say 2 points as well, which it's going to be ironic because I think if we get past these games and it's 2 points, depending upon how it's played, I think we could be like, oh, we only got 2 points out of these games. And but no, I think going into it, we know that Louisville is always an exciting team, but I think that we're going to talk about Louisville here in a second. We'll get into the specifics of that game and sort of what to look for. But, I think that 2 points is realistic. The Rowdies are a good team. So if we're able to get a draw out of them as well, I think I'd, at this point, considering what we've seen the past few games, I think I'd have to be happy with 2 points. Kev, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, all logic points to that as well. I mean, obviously, I would love to take a win. I'd rather take a win and a loss, but
yeah. Well, we're saying minimum 2 points. I'd be very happy with 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. I mean, theorizing that's okay, say we go away and get a well-fought point against Louisville and then come home and then just come up just a bit short against Tampa, even though we put in a good performance, it still wouldn't feel right just walking away, that would be 2 points in 3 games. That's not the kind of form to get us in the playoffs that we want.
The one point per game average we were shooting for last season.
I'm just going to say, if I can make myself happy about that. I mean, I wouldn't be happy from the start, but I could talk myself into being okay with 2 points against the Rowdies in Louisville. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be natural, but I could definitely talk myself up there. I could convince myself this is a good thing.
Yeah.
So one of the things, I mentioned the Nightingale's piece earlier. He put out a number of suggestions. One of the things that I thought was interesting, and I don't know if the opportunity is there, is bringing in a midfielder or forward from the English Championship that will complement Herzog and Kerr. I don't know how you guys feel about how strongly you feel about the team's chemistry right now and whether you want to bring in somebody new to mess with that or
I mean, they did it with Parks.
Well, that's true. I would have thought Parks would have been a match, throwing a match into the whole thing. But I don't know. I always have a problem when someone suggests someone from a certain league. I don't feel like that should matter. It should be the quality of the player, no matter where he comes from. I'm fine with getting these players from, South America, that kind of stuff, like the other leagues. But I don't know why it has to be from the Championships League. That's all I mean. I just don't understand why that's a big deal.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. But yeah, like I said, there was a number of things. So if you haven't read it, head over. It's a good piece. It isn't overly, I'll say, damning of the team.
It's a good piece. No, you'd be like, it's a good piece, but you don't have to check it out. Go check it out. It's a good piece.
No, I mean, go read it. I told Richard I thought it was a really good piece. So go check it out over at Mongols.
And I did read it, Richard. I actually did read it this time because I know he gave me crap last time that he was on the show and I didn't read it. It was very good.
All right. So the Hounds
just gonna smile and nod.
Yeah. So the Hounds only get 1 point here against the team from Canada, TFC2. But we got to deal with it. Next up, we get Louisville. Saturday. We travel to Louisville. Game's at 7:30 at Slugger Field. Breaking news before we actually start recording this show is that Matt Grubba at the Trib is reporting that the Pittsburgh CW will be carrying at least three of the Hounds road games this season, including this one. The other two are going to be the away games at Tampa on July 29th and away at Cincy on September 2nd.
Nice.
So this is something that we've been calling for since early last season of like, why are we not on local TV? Why, you know, why is there not a push for this? And here we go. You know, it's baby steps. It's
yeah.
three games, but you know, gut reaction. You guys hear this. What do you think, Josh?
About damn time. That was my first reaction. As soon as I read it on Twitter, I was like, oh, about time. Come on. This has been like, I didn't have a clue why this wasn't happening already. As far as like, even if it's like not at the time of the game, even if it's like, you know, delayed to tape type game, like just throw it on at 2 o'clock in the morning, something. Just why aren't you guys on local television? So I'm glad they finally got some deal worked out, and hopefully, you know, it's going to be a step in the right direction, and it's not going to be like an experiment and then they're not going to do it again.
Yeah, it sounds like this is more of a move. I mean, reading through the article, which, again, you can go check it out on the Trib, this sounds like there's more of a move by the USL to expand the television coverage in all markets of the teams they support. So part of me is wondering how much, and obviously we don't know, but I'm wondering how much of this is the reason why they weren't on local television is partially to do with just sort of the technical difficulties of just broadcasting in general and being a small market team. And it's like, well, okay, they've set us up to run on YouTube, so that's what we're going to do, and unless they tell us anything differently, then we can't really support that, which feels sort of excusey. But regardless, now that the USL is stepping in and saying we're going to do this, it seems like it's going to happen, and they're sort of helping out these smaller teams. One thing that I thought was interesting was that they mentioned that Pittsburgh has some challenges just from a viewer standpoint, because we are the only team besides Tampa that the USL has rolled this out for so far that's independently owned and is in a market with NFL, MLB, and NHL. So expectations, I don't think, are terribly high just because of, you know, obviously the fandom that follows the Pirates, the Steelers, the Penguins. But we're sort of in that sweet spot where the NHL just ended, Steelers aren't playing yet, we're really only competing with the Pirates. So who knows? I mean, and also who knows how much the CW is actually going to advertise that this is happening. I mean, it's great that it's going to be on the CW, because we said one of the big things is that people who are channel surfing may just fall on it, and it's, oh, Pittsburgh has a soccer team, let's watch it. But it's whereas now the only way people are going to watch the game is if they know the game is on and they actively search it out and go to YouTube and look for it. So I think that's, you know, Josh, like you said, it's about damn time. So I'm happy, and it sounds like that this could potentially be extended beyond just the three games, and they're looking to try to extend it beyond that. The USL is, in addition to providing additional studio coverage and all of those different things. So it sounds like it's a really good move. So it'll be interesting. The games will still be streamed online, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So if you can't catch it on Pittsburgh CW, you can catch it on YouTube, and I'm assuming that it's the exact same broadcast. But you know, if you have the choice of watching it on Pittsburgh CW versus watching it online, go watch it on Pittsburgh CW, you know, just sort of give the network some support to let them know that there are fans here that want to watch the games, and so you know, keep it happening. So that's awesome. Matt, thanks for sharing that information and doing that digging and getting that out there. That's some exciting news. Let's specifically talk about Louisville. Obviously, this game's going to be on the CW. It'll be on YouTube as well. We just played Louisville four games ago at Highmark, and it was a 1-0 loss. That was a game where, you know, we talked to the Barrel Proof guys before that, and they said, oh, you know, we like to work down the right side. He crosses into the box. Sure enough, 7 minutes into the game, they get across into the box. Luke Spencer taps it in. After that, you know, we talked about this a little bit, we swapped our wingbacks and had Taylor Washington cover that right side for them, and pretty much stopped all Louisville attack at that point. So hopefully, you know, we go into this game, I don't want to say with a little more foresight, but doing something like that, knowing what Louisville wants to do and trying to stomp that out. Since that game, Louisville has drawn with Charleston Battery, who are still the top team in the East. They beat Charlotte Independence, who are currently 12th, and the Red Bulls, who are currently in 4th. They beat them 3-0 in the last game. So let's talk about, what do we expect from this game in terms of players, formation, score, all of that stuff? You know, sitting down, you know, pulling it up on the CW with some popcorn and a drink. Kevin, what do you expect to see?
I think it's going to be a really interesting game because last time we talked about when Louisville came to Highmark, I remember talking about it in the sense that Louisville came and did exactly what they would have wanted to do, right? I mean, they kind of sit back, frustrate, look to break up the game, fouls here, you know, taking long goal kicks there. They get their one goal, and then they just they kind of rely on their defense. And when we talked about it in the preview show for that game, you know, we talked about how their center backs are one of the pillars of their team. They're big, strong center backs that if you let them control the game, they will. And so they kind of did exactly that at Highmark. Now, I would be kind of surprised to see them do that at their home stadium. You would kind of expect them to be a bit more adventurous, be a bit more attacking at home in front of the home fans and all that kind of stuff and put on a bit more of a show. And I'm wondering if that'll hopefully leave them a little exposed. I mean, I don't think they rolled over us the last time we played them. I think we had our chances. This is, like I said before, this isn't a team that I'm afraid of. And so with Brandt playing a certain way, in my opinion, away from home, maybe sitting a bit deeper, allowing another team to have a bit more of the possession, in a case of Louisville, who maybe don't want that, I don't know, then that could leave them a bit exposed and a bit uncomfortable, and hopefully we can hit them on the counter. I'm feeling pretty good about this game.
Do you change the players on the field at all, or do you roll the same squad that we saw against TFC?
I mean, the only thing I would change is if Soto's fit, Soltos fit, then I'd roll him in. But to my knowledge, there's no new news on that. So, yeah, I mean, all the players are there that I want to see. So I wouldn't change anything. I mean, I guess there's a temptation to bring in Howell, but I don't know who I'd drop.
I mean, I think at this point, the only one, I thought Howell looked spirited, but the only one that I would sub in on offense to start if he's healthy, and the key is if he's healthy, would be Kay Banjo. And I think that because he hasn't been healthy, if he is healthy, we would likely see him as a sub. He wouldn't start the game mm-hmm. right off the bat after being injured. So I agree. The one of the bads that I meant to mention that I didn't, and, you know, all respect to Stephen Okai, he seems like a fantastic dude, but... I need to go back and count the number of times that he passed the ball forward versus backwards. It seems like every time he touches the ball, his immediate instinct is to turn around and pass it backwards. And that seems to be the opposite of what Soto does. Soto sort of heads up, take a touch. If I gotta beat a player around to get a ball forward, I will. But that changes the dynamic of the team.
Well, at least early in the season, too. I mean, the whole kind of forward progress, vertical passing. It worked because we were pressing high up the pitch and winning the ball back and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I was going to ask this before too. I feel like we saw a team against the Red Bulls the first game of the season, and we haven't really seen that team since. Not necessarily in quality or anything like that, but it was almost a completely different style of. It seemed like everyone was 15 yards higher up the pitch. People were, you know, swarming the ball and all this. And I feel like we haven't seen that this much anymore. But anyway, if we do the vertical passing, you know, we want to look to win the ball back in their half, not our half. And so that's why the vertical passing makes sense in this case. And playing it back and then just lumping it forward doesn't really make sense.
Josh, what are you hoping for in this game?
Yeah, I mean, sitting back, absorbing the pressure from them, getting them frustrated, kind of like the game plan that they had against us originally. I want to see us frustrate them, make them, you know, do more dangerous plays to try to get the goal, try to perform. I'm hoping they underestimate us. I wouldn't be surprised with our, you know, performances lately and that kind of stuff that they might be really, really confident going into this. And I want to make sure that, you know, we make them pay for that. So, yeah, sit back, absorb it, and then get a counter. And just keep on, you know, needling away at them and with the counters.
And I mean, and let's not forget either, it is easy to forget how good our defense has been over the past mm-hmm. 6-7 games. I mean, they are becoming a unit that we can just rely on. Now, it doesn't feel like that against a Toronto team that we should have beat, but, you know, Trey is still, I haven't looked, but he's still probably up there in the standings for clean sheets. You know, I would say probably our most consistent performers all season have been maybe Taylor Washington and Jack. So it's, you know,
we feel like Richie Duffy just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Like the more games he plays.
So, I mean, we can rely on them. I mean, you know, if you know, Josh, you mentioned they're sitting back and absorbing pressure. In other situations, I wouldn't feel like we could do that for 90 minutes. But, you know, we might could in this game. I know that's not proper grammar, but, you know. But, yeah.
And don't forget, we have some bigger players up top as well that can defend. I mean, they can come back and help the defense, and that's been helping a lot. I mean, you get like a Romeo back there who, you know, he's a big guy. It's going to help out. And with Herzog being as fast as he is, he can sprint all the way back up and down that field and help out on both sides. So we have what we need to do defensive, you know, to park the bus, to say. But I do think we have to absorb a lot of pressure at the beginning of this game. First 15 minutes, I got a feeling it's going to be a lot of it in our half.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a slightly smaller field. It is on a baseball diamond. I remember last year it was a game that we probably shouldn't have played because it was so wet and rained out. They were actually trying to mop the field and they were just pushing puddles around.
Yeah.
But we played it anyway, just I'm guessing because of scheduling and all of that. So, but that, again, you know, like Kev, to your point, that was a game that we went in and we grinded out. It was just Louisville is a team that always seems to be good, but like you said, doesn't seem to scare the Hounds. We're never intimidated by them. It's always a tough fought game. So yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a good one. I think if we make adjustments, I think that, you know, whether we move Taylor over to try to adjust for their right side or not, I think that even if we just have Richie hang back a little bit, I think Richie has the speed and pace to help prevent some of those crosses from going in, which may free up Taylor to make more runs down the other side, which could be really good. So yeah, I'd like to see us, you know, capitalize on some more of our shots. You know, if nothing else, just get them on target, even if they're right at the keeper. I'd rather they be right at the keeper than skied 40 feet over the net. So, yeah. What do you think? Josh, what do you think score-wise? What are you calling on this game?
I mean, ambitiously, I'm hoping for if we get the win, it would be a 0-1 win. But I'm just hoping that we have a what some people would call a snooze fest in a 0-0 game.
Kev?
I really don't know what to think from this. I have a weird sneaking suspicion that this maybe is the game. Parks and Herzog maybe both go off together. You know, Herzog
dare to dream.
Yeah, I mean to keep his one goal every two games. You know, he needs to be scoring soon. I think maybe that gets the monkey off of Parks' back with opening his scoring account. So I could. You know, last season I think we played out to a 2-2 draw. I could almost weirdly see something similar happening, but I could also see Josh's nil-nil as equally. I have no idea what to call this game, but yeah, I'll say 1-1.
I'm going to call the shocker. I'm going to say 2-1. I think we go in and Josh, I think there may be some of that underestimating going on. They can sort of look at our recent run of form and be like, all right, we're at home, you know, let's just go take care of business. And I think it's gonna be one of those ones where it's 1-1 late and we spring either Hurts. I could see a springy Herzog and him making up for all of the misses and just sliding one in, and we end up walking away with 3 points when you know, everyone thinks we're getting one.
By the way, this has to be the first time all season that only one of us has predicted a win. Like, that has to be the first time, right?
Maybe.
I always predict a win.
I was going to say, I'm shocked that it's me of all of us. Say. Yeah. but that's what we think. You guys let us know what you think. Guys, we haven't really talked about this, but we're not going to be recording next week. Originally, I was thinking that we would. At that point, probably all of my gear will be in a U-Haul truck getting ready to be moved, and I won't have internet access. So yeah, no show next week. You know, let us know. We'll probably still be on Twitter and stuff, you know, tweeting about the games and all of that. So join us on the conversation on there. You can follow us on Twitter @Mongols. Email us at mongols@bgn.fm. M. As always, head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review, and if you're looking for more great soccer podcasts, head over to the Beautiful Game Network at bgn.fm. There's a lot of talks of some special edition shows that are coming up where we're going to tackle some much broader topics as it relates to U.S. soccer that are going to be really, really good, where we're taking some different people from different shows all over the network that have different ideas based on location and teams and all of that, and having these much larger discussions about just the state of U.S. soccer. So, you know, make sure that you head over there and check out some of the other shows, because a lot of the other hosts are really good as well. Not saying that we're really good. That's not how I think. But you know, these guys are good. I listen to them anyway.
Your defeat is so much on this, but you can go over to the website if you want.
Whatever.
I mean, we're all right.
You know, subscribe to the show or not. Leave us a review. I don't really care.
There's a good Louisville podcast.
There is. Yeah.
If they want to know, what the enemy's thinking.
Go listen to Barrel Proof. Hear what they have to say. They typically do a lot of talking about. They have a special where they like talk about the different drinks and stuff that are going on. So yeah, go listen to those guys. They're fun. Stop listening to the show. We're done. Go listen to those guys instead. I'm just going to end it on that. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongoals.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongoals.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongoals.com. Become a Supporter. Thanks.